Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research, papers, and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. This week, just getting over a cold, and I'm working on a new video for the Vimeo and YouTube channels. Also, if you have the app, I hope you enjoyed the full book, Morals and Dogma, by Albert Pike that we posted last week. A Facebook post by someone, I can't remember who, off the top of my head, posted an article in the BBC News. I found it to be pretty cool, so I'll read that for you now. March 9th, 2012. Would You Want to Be a Freemason? By Tom De Castella, BBC News Magazine. Dogged by conspiracy theories, Freemasons insist theirs is a modern, open organization. But can this male-dominated body cast off its secretive image and win over a skeptical public? They designed the pyramids, plotted the French Revolution, and are keeping the flame alive for the Knights Templar. These are just some of the wilder theories about the Freemasons. Today, they are associated with the secret handshakes and alleged corruption in the public, in the police, and judiciary. But dogged by this secret society image, the Freemasons have launched a rebranding exercise. On Friday, the United Grand Lodge of England, the largest Masonic group in Britain, publishes its first independent report, The Future of Freemasonry, researched by the Social Issue Research Center, aims to start an open and transparent discussion ahead of the group's tercentenary in 2017. Nigel Brown, Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge, says it's time to banish the reputation for secrecy. We're being proactive now. It's essential we get people's minds away from these myths. For instance, there is no such thing as a secret handshake, and professional networking is forbidden under Masonic rules, he says. Even this is disputed. Martin Short, who wrote about the Masons in his 1989 book, Inside the Brotherhood, says the handshake is real. If you meet a middle-ranking police officer, you'll suddenly find this distinctive pressure between your second and third fingers. The thumb switches positions, and you feel that someone is giving you an electric shock. The report, for the most part, dodges such controversies, surveying members and the wider public on Masonic themes such as male bonding, charitable work, and ritual. It argues that the members value the community of Freemasonry and that outsiders are largely ignorant of how the organization works. With 250,000 members in England and in Wales, and 6 million around the world, they are a minority, albeit one associated with the levers of power. The first U.S. President, George Washington, and another leading American revolutionary, Benjamin Franklin, were Masons. Today, a significant proportion of the royal household are members, and the Duke of Kent is a Grand Master of the United Grand Lodge of England. Masonic rules demand that members support each other and keep each other's lawful secrets, which has led to fears of corrupt cliques developing. It's nothing new, says Observer newspaper columnist Nick Cohen. Ever since the 1790s, Masons have been whipping boys for global conspiracy theorists, he argues, adding that after the French Revolution, Catholic reactionaries were looking for a scapegoat, and the Jews, the usual target, were too downrotten to be blamed. Freemasons in popular culture. Freemasons Hall in London's Covent Garden stood in for MI5 headquarters in the BBC spy drama Spooks. An episode of The Simpsons charted Homer's attempts to join a fictional secret society called the Stonecutters, and the comic disasters that ensued. Fred Flintstone of the 1960s cartoon belonged to a club with Masonic echoes, the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo Lodge for men only. It was the Freemasons' turn, and the narrative of a secret society plotting in the shadows has never gone away, says Cohen. You can draw a straight line from the 1790s onwards to the Nazis, Franco, Stalin, right up to modern Islamists like Hamas. The Charter of Hamas, the Islamist party governing Gaza, states that Freemasons are in league with the Jews and the Rotary Club to undermine Palestine. These theories are clearly mad, says Cohen, but attacking the Masons has become a staple for anyone suspicious of a New World Order. There's also a sense that Freemasons are weird, says James, author of A Rough Guide to Conspiracy Theories. Initiations include rolling up one's trousers, being blindfolded with a rope over one's neck, and having a knife pointed at one's bare breast. They offer a progression to a higher level of knowledge, he says. It's alluring and cultish. Grand Secretary Brown argues that the initiations are allegorical, one-act plays. They give people from all walks of life the chance to stand up in front of an audience, conquer their fears, and make friends. People don't associate fun and enjoyment with Freemasonry, but it's the common thread for us. It's about camaraderie and making lasting friendships. Another vexed issue is the male-only image. There are women's orders in Britain with 20,000 members, but Freemasonry is overwhelmingly male. The report talks of a quiet revolution, but some information should be withheld from the public view, Brown says. Keeping a bit of mystery is good news. If people joining know absolutely everything, where would the excitement be? The centuries-old veil of secrecy is falling away. The Masons are walking a different tightrope, says brand consultant Jonathan Gabby. For the rebrand to be effective, they have to demonstrate that they are serious about being open and transparent, and yet in the process they risk alienating members who value the cachet of secrecy and tradition, he says. People join the Masons not because it is a community group raising money for charity, but for its snob factor and history, he argues. If this is overtaken by a transparent, inclusive approach, then the organization would be indistinguishable from many other dining clubs. You'd have to ask, why would you want to be a Freemason rather than a Rotarian? Distrust remains strong. Last year, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, controversially named a Freemason as the next Bishop of Ebbsfleet. He had previously said that Freemasonry was incompatible with Christianity. In August 2010, he emerged that a new National Masonic Lodge had been set up by senior police officers. Former Home Secretary Jack Straw tried to address the issue of Freemasons working in the criminal justice system. In 1999, new judges were required to publicly disclose whether they were Masons. But after a ruling from the European Court of Human Rights, the requirement was dropped in 2009. Police officers have a voluntary requirement to disclose, but only to their superiors. Researching his book in the 1980s, Short found that corruption in the police was enhanced and shielded by the Masonic Lodge. It's difficult to know whether anything has changed as the Freemasons do not make their membership list freely available, he says. Brown responds that to do so would breach data projection rules. Given all the suspicion, it's hard not to feel sorry for Freemasons, says Cohen. Researching them, you do become rather sympathetic. If people want to say Freemason lodges are nests of corruption, then fine, but they've got to prove it. It's no good just saying it. However, there is something amusing, peculiar about Masonic ritual, and this rather than the historical baggage that is their biggest obstacle to getting a fair hearing, he argues. Rolling your trouser leg up is quite funny. If they do want to rebrand themselves, perhaps they should drop the trouser leg rolling. Certainly there are some valid points in there, however, I can't say I'm totally cool with being open about everything. It cheapens things for those who did the work and perform it. Hopefully, that is just a reiteration of what we already do. As you know, a few weeks ago I posted something about brothers who are getting upset about some of the new shows putting the spotlight on our ritual. I think I need to take some of my own advice and chill out. Next, I have two short pieces called What is Freemasonry? Part 1 and Part 2. What is Freemasonry? A beautiful system of morality veiled in allegory illustrated by signs and symbols. This is a direct form of Masonic rhetoric, and its full understanding is embedded in the allegory of the order. A beautiful system of morality reminds us of God's system, or pattern, which He established for us to follow each day of our lives. That system is God's moral law. His law is segmented into 10 primary instructions that we know as the Ten Commandments. Veiled in allegory reminds us that the hidden mysteries of Freemasonry can only be found and understood when we search our rituals, dictionaries, and holy Bibles for greater depth and understanding in those things deemed secretive in Masonry. Illustrated by signs and symbols verifies the fact that Masonry is hidden and that it is secretive. Like the symbols that we display openly, our signs, words, grips, characters, etc., each carry a definite surface meaning. Yet, it is below the surface that we find the spiritual, material, physical, and intellectual allegories. If in a lodge we remove all signs, words, grips, and hieroglyphs, symbols, and characters, what remains is the craft and God's gift to mankind, which is the Holy Bible. Still, we have not moved Masonry. Only in the illustrations and modes of projection have been moved. The allegories of Masonry are still present in the Holy Bible. This is to say that the Masonry is no more and no less than the study and practice of religion and the guiding of our actions within the realm of God's law. What is Freemasonry Part 2? The first question that is usually asked by a non-Mason is, what is Freemasonry? There are many definitions of a word, but none are complete since the organization embraces a wide scope of activity. A very short definition provided by this website is, Freemasonry is a fraternal organization, religious in character, based on the principle of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, which does charitable work in the community through its members. In addition, its teachings and ceremonies seek to make good men better and thereby make the world a better place in which to live. Freemasonry is a voluntary society in that no one is invited to become a member. Unlike a college, fraternities, and other organizations, Freemasonry never solicits anyone to become a member. As a matter of fact, it is a violation of Masonic law for a member to invite anyone to join. A prospective member must truly come of his own free will and accord. Freemasonry is not a religion. Sometimes outsiders claim that Freemasonry is a religion. Most Freemasons do belong to an established church. Freemasonry is religious in the fact that one cannot become a Freemasonry unless he believes in a God. But there is no religious test applied to the prospective member, nor is he required or asked to subscribe to any religious tenet or dogma. It is forbidden to discuss religion or politics in the lodge. Freemasonry is not a secret society. A secret society is one that keeps its existence in secret and whose members do not make known their affiliation with the group. Freemasonry is not a secret society because it does not hide its existence and members do not hide their membership. On the contrary, the organization meets in buildings located in public, announces its meetings in newspapers and magazines, engraves the words Masonic Temple on many of its buildings, publishes periodicals, and has homes for orphans and the aged. The degrees of Freemasonry consist of ceremonies of a strictly serious nature, which teach basic moral truths in an impressive and solemn manner. When the degrees are completed, the new member is provided a ritual that contains a philosophy of right that provides the new member with something on which to build hope that is eternal. Freemasons are proud to proclaim to the world that we are a serious organization of mature men and women, an organization that instills a love of God, teaches charity in its broadest sense, and shows each member how to live a better life. Non-Masons sometimes wonder at the close bond that exists between Freemasons. There is a simple explanation. Masons are bound together by a deep and abiding knowledge that each of them, during the ceremonies of the degrees, has accepted certain high ethical standards of conduct. These standards ensure a bond of faith and confidence. Thousands of books have been published on the subject of Freemasonry. The matters discussed in the website are just a few of the things about the organization. But it contains enough information to show that Freemasonry is one of the great organizations of the world and a steadying influence in a faltering civilization. And that was taken from Masonic World, a website with tons of articles. And I wanted to address three things here. One, the first part of that suggested that the Bible is the thing that we use most often. This is not always true. In most Grand Lodges, in fact, there are three books on the altar, the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah. Also, it mentions women as being part of the Masonic family. As you may know, women are not usually allowed in Masonic lodges. So I believe this refers to wives of Masons, etc. I also don't wholeheartedly agree with the first section which states that Masonry is no more and no less than the study and practice of religion. I believe it will help one understand these things, but not that it is completely based on this. And this week's famous Freemason is Giovanni Battista Belzoni. November 5th, 1778 to December 3rd, 1823, Giovanni Battista Belzoni was an Italian showman, engineer, and explorer of the Egyptian antiquities. Due to his large physique, he earned a living in circuses in England, Spain, and Portugal, where he was billed as the Great Belzoni. Belzoni was the first person to penetrate into the Second Pyramid of Giza in 1818, and the first European to visit the Oasis of Siwa and identify the ruined city of Berenice on the Red Sea. The Norfolk Remembrance of England in August 1821 reported Mr. Belzoni, the celebrated traveler and discoverer of Egyptian antiquities, visited Norwich. He stayed with Jeremiah Ives, Esquire of St. Catherine's Hill. Previous to his departure, he received the high Masonic degree of Knight Templar. He was referred to as Brother Belzoni when his widow was helped by the Lodge of Emulation in London. In 1825, Bedford Lodge No. 183, England, also contributed to his widow. Well, that's all for this week. Be sure to find us on Facebook, follow on Twitter at Wentz Camu, and add us to your circle on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to email us at the same address. Visit the website at wcypodcast.blogspot.com, and there you will find tons of cool stuff, including links to the Wentz Camu Android and Apple apps, which let you access the show streaming rather than syncing. Also, you'll get copies of papers that we read via PDF and wallpapers and all manner of other little bonuses for getting the app, so check it out. All right, well, keep yourselves circumscribed. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
Oh, and I almost forgot. Have a happy St. Patrick's Day.